This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. Hope everybody's having a great day. I guess of all the fans of all the teams in New York, you'd have to say that Yankee fans probably the happiest. Now, you could say, well, how about the Ranger fans? I think the Ranger fans are nervous right now. The Yankee fans are full of expectations. The Yankee fans are looking at a team that's 25-9. Yankee fans are looking at a team that's on the same pace as the team that won 114 games. Yankee fans are looking at a team that's playing good baseball in every way, shape, or form. So, I mean, you could make an argument that Ranger fans relate it, but I think the nervousness of a hockey playoff takes away the elation. On Sunday, obviously, they were way happier than any fan base in New York. But Yankee fans right now, even the ones that are doomsayers, even the ones that say, get back to me when you win the World Series, there's no way that they can't feel great about what's happening. Another victory last night, more home runs, good pitching out of the bullpen. I mean, what's there to be upset about? It's all peaches and cream.
Well, let's hear. Let's hope. And again, I understand that the silent minority will call and tweet negatives about, you know, Joey Gallo or – you know, Aaron Boone, not liking him for whatever reason, you know, but right now I think they're the best team in baseball. And I really don't think it's close. And it's coming from a Met fan who I think the Mets are the second best team. Dodgers right there as well. Forget about records. It's about feel. Right now the Yankees are great in pretty much every facet. We nitpicked it down yesterday to just a concern about Chapman, which is a legitimate one, but it's not like they don't have two or three options to replace him if he goes off the rails. But what are the calls going to be? You know, we do a lot of Yankees, and rightly so, because they've got the biggest fan base in New York, and they're the best team in New York right now. So we do a lot of Yankee conversation. But when we open up the phones, it still always ends up being, yeah, but.
I hope they lose.
They're the best team in baseball. Yeah, but I'm worried about Chapman. Yeah, but I don't like Boone. Yeah, but what if they get hurt? You know, so are they really enjoying? I would hope they would. And I do think that the silent minority, instead of the vocal minority, the silent majority, are having a great time with this team. Why wouldn't you? They win basically every day. But I can only go by the reaction from the fans when we open up the phones, Michael. And wouldn't you say even this year, it still seems to be more negative than positive?
Maybe those are the ones that get through.
Right.
I just think that for the most part, you know, looking at it, social media after a game, people are elated about this team. This team's fun to watch. They play hard. They run hard to first base. They run the bases with abandon. For the most part, they play good defense. And even when, you know, Aaron Boone yesterday rest arguably the best player on the team, they still win. So it's like you can't even question the stuff that he's doing with the silly rest roulette because they keep winning. Whoever they plug in there, they keep winning. And if you're a Yankee fan – and you're not totally enjoying this, and you're only looking at the end game, then yeah, I guess, you know, talk to me back, you know, when October rolls around, because it's a 162 game season, it's 6 months, and it's there for you to enjoy. I mean, when you get off to a bad start, you're miserable. Well, when you get off to a potentially, you know, historic start, you got to be thrilled. You got to be thrilled. So, yeah, you know, I know the year but stuff. So, Severino was a year but. Yeah, but, well, yesterday he pitched 6 innings of 1-hit ball. So that yeah, but goes away for a little bit. Chapman is still a yeah, but you said it perfectly, Don. They've got answers to that yeah, but. Let's say he completely is awful this year. Okay, Clay Holmes slides in, and he's probably better. And then everybody else moves up a tick, and the bullpen is still a real, real, real good part of their team. Joey Gallo's a yeah, but. Looked like he was turning around. 4 more strikeouts yesterday. A drop ball in left field. But they're able to absorb that because it's such a complete team. And the yeah, but of, well, who have they played? Well, they played the best teams. They played everybody. They played the Blue Jays. They beat them. They played the White Sox. They beat them. Who's better? They have yet to play the Twins. But, Don, you know, They beat the Twins. If the Twins win 130 games, they seem to have the Kevorka over the Twins. So who exactly did that to play? They played the Guardians and embarrassed them, and the Guardians have actually played very, very well.
No,
there's no test there. When they come back to New York, you know, after the next homestand, they go to Tampa Bay. That's the first time they play the Rays. We'll see. That's another test. But they passed every single test.
No, they have. I mean, you're playing a lot of the same teams, but still, some of those teams are good. The Blue Jays are your biggest concern, maybe even more so than the Rays going in. Let's not forget, people. Let's hold everybody accountable when this whole thing is over. All of those pundits who said the Blue Jays can't be touched. They're running away with this division. Let's not forget, you know, the Jeff Passans of the world. I'm not killing them, but I'm just saying is that that was the flavor of the month. The Blue Jays were just this untouchable force. Blue Jays and Dodgers. Blue Jays and Dodgers. That's all we've heard. So far, they got it right with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are very good. They're in first place, but only a half game up on San Diego. They're not running away with the rest of the division, just a game and a half up on San Francisco, and it was all Toronto, 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 Toronto. And maybe it'll end up being Toronto, but they're two games above 500. Doesn't look like a team that's going to run away with anything, Michael. Looks like a team that's going to be there at the end. And who knows? Maybe they will go to the World Series because it seems to be a crapshoot in the postseason. But right now, enough of a sample size, right? We're talking about 35 games into the season. The Yankees look like the team that's untouchable, that's running away with things. The Blue Jays, not the Dodgers.
Let me give you a real negative about the Blue Jays that I didn't even consider because everybody remembers I said that they would win the division. And this is our first Around the Bases brought to you by Nissan. A lot of people don't know this. So here's the rules in Canada, right? If you fly out of Canada, you must be tested. And if you test positive, you must stay in Canada, quarantine for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Blue Jays are doing, and everybody in baseball is doing, that rule does not apply when you drive out of Canada. So what teams are doing, including the Blue Jays, they're leaving from Rogers Center, and they're driving to Buffalo, where they fly out of Buffalo, which means that you go through customs between Canada and New York. Do you know how long that takes to go from the Rogers Center to the airport in Buffalo? Every single trip the Blue Jays make, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes to 3 hours. That's going to wear them down, man. Now, if you're the Red Sox, you go there three times. All right, you do it three times. It stinks, but it's three times because nobody wants to be stuck in Canada. Not that Canada's not great, but you know, while your team leaves, you have to stay there for 10 days quarantine. Well, it's not like anybody's gaming the system, but that's not the rule when you drive. So can you imagine what the Blue Jays have to do every single time they take a road trip? They've got to take a three-hour bus ride, Don. Three-hour bus ride. That's going to wear them down. Unless those rules change, that is going to wear them down. It just is. There's no way that you can combat that. That's a long – and that's 3 hours to get on a plane. So let's say they're going from Toronto to Anaheim. You're traveling for 9 hours to go to the next city. That's not a positive for the Blue Jays. And this is a team that has survived playing in Dunedin, survived playing in Buffalo, survived playing half the season in Toronto. Not good. Not good. I never considered it because I didn't think it was going to be an issue. But that might eliminate the Blue Jays from competing with the Yankees. I still think Tampa Bay now is the team that, unless they lift these sanctions in Canada, I think Tampa Bay is the team that's going to give them the most trouble.
Right. But right now, you know, things are going well for this Yankee team that looked on paper to be flawed, that the fan base didn't seem to be completely in love with because they wanted to go after the big ticket items in free agency. And hey, it's only 35 games, but right now you got to be elated. And that's what I told fans that called like during the off season. Listen, if you don't expect anything from this team, then if they get off to a good start, you should be able to enjoy it. Instead of saying, you know, about being wrong or apologizing, just enjoy it.
But Don, here's the problem. Those that are of that mindset, right, they hate Cashman, and they hate Boone. So if this team is what it seems to be, you almost got to swallow that and go, wow, Cashman put together a pretty good team. And you know what? When he's got a good 26-man roster, Boone's a pretty good manager. They don't want to admit that. They hate them. They hate them. That takes away your aim to hate. Just does. But you watch this team. Now, the Orioles are terrible. The Orioles should be embarrassed, the team they're fielding. And everybody talks about, oh, it's a young team. It's a young team. The youngest guy on the team is Nevin. He's going to be 25 next week. It's not a young team. It's an awful team. They're playing guys like Rougned Odor every day. That's not a young player. So the Orioles, they should beat up. That's why it's impossible to believe that the one series the Yankees have lost was a series against the Orioles. That dropped them to 500. But since then, it's been win after win after win, series after series after series, and they don't get stopped by anybody. So let's hear from you. Are you enjoying this? Or do you think that Ranger fans are enjoying their run more? And I don't, listen, it's pretty good right now for New York sports. If you're a soccer fan, NYCFC, which is the defending champions, they're really good. They're really, really good. The Mets are really good. The Yankees are outstanding, and the Rangers are in the second round of the playoffs. What is there to complain about, guys? What's there to complain about?
Bing bong! Considering, well, that's always something to complain about, but considering what the last 10 years have been like since the last giant Super Bowl win, this is this may be as good a time as we've had.
No,
it's right there.
And also, it's not – listen, the Yankees are there every year, except they haven't gone to the World Series, so fans don't really believe that they've been a good team because the expectations are so high. But the Yankees certainly can win a championship this year. I think the Mets could win a championship this year. I think, listen, a lot of things have to happen. You got to stay healthy, but they could get DeGrom back. His MRI was clear, so it's possible they'll be able to add him sometime in the middle of the season. He's only the best pitcher in baseball. So you drop into him to a team that's already 10 games above 500, only lost one series all year. All right, the Dodgers obviously can get in the way. Rays can get in the way. Astros can get in the way. In both leagues, but you know, right now I think the Mets and Yankees can fancy themselves as championship caliber. The Rangers are in the second round, and I think they're built to sustain. So if it doesn't happen this year, I think they're going to only get better next year. As much as we complain about the Nets situation, would anybody be surprised if they bring Kyrie back and Simmons can play that they can't be competing for a championship next year? The Giants and Jets seem to be pointing in the right direction. So we had a caller a couple of days ago, I guess it was, are they trending towards, is New York trending to be
a championship capital?
Well, yeah, the capital, listen, is it trending there? I mean, they're on the tracks now. Before, they weren't even at the station. You know, now it seems like they're chugging in the right direction with multiple teams in all sports feeling like that they're moving in the right direction. And that's how it starts. And sustainability, too. Not just flash in the pan, somebody, you know, a team that's going to be good for a while.
Well, that's today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com. There's also an angle here that we're not looking at, and it revolves around the Rangers. So the Rangers have been playing these pulsating playoff games, and you had Judge, Rizzo, and
LeMahieu
there. Then, in Game 7, the Mets bought a luxury suite. They were all there.
Yeah, so, yeah, but Nimmo, Lindor.
Right. Yeah. Brian Dable is, like, adopted the Rangers. The Giant coach said, this is unbelievable. How they're at the last game, Game 7, sitting in the stands, Zach Wilson.
The Rangers.
So, this is almost like a look ahead of what you could have. Listen to what Brandon Nimmo said about the Rangers and being at the Ranger game. Here's a Mets center fielder.
It was great. We had a blast. You know, obviously can't write up much better than that. Overtime, Game 7, and then they pull out the win. It was electric. Madison Square Garden didn't disappoint, no question. And, you know, just made us realize, you know, if we get into the playoffs and we can double or triple that, I think they said there was 18,000 at the stadium. See if we can pack 50,000, 55,000 into here. Just try and get some standing room onlys and everything. How much fun that would be. Definitely a good taste to be left in the mouth for something for us to work towards.
Don and Peter, you don't think that every single person from another sport and team that sat there didn't imagine and daydream about what it would be like at MetLife, Yankee Stadium, Citi Field?
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Now I want some of this. And the Rangers are kind of showing the way. It's kind of a neat test for everybody.
It's been 5 years for the Rangers. That's a long time in hockey to not make the playoffs for 5 years. Same thing with the Mets. They haven't been to the playoffs now in six, going back to 2016. So getting back into the playoffs, that'll feel pretty special. You know, the Jets, they haven't been to the playoffs since, you know, 2010. You know, so when you go that length of time and you finally get back in there, and also what this kind of shows you, because I get a lot of abuse on Twitter.
Sure you do.
From, like, Islander fans. Like, you didn't talk this much Islanders last year when they went to the conference final. Listen, we did our share, but what you're seeing with the Rangers, and I understand hockey's the fourth sport, but the Rangers are one of those teams that can bring, get the city excited. You know, the Islanders and the Devils and the Nets, because we saw the Nets in the playoffs, it doesn't have the same feel that it does for the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants and the Knicks and the Rangers. Now, maybe for whatever reason, that just seems because of the length of time these teams have been here. The fan bases are just bigger. It's just a fact. Listen, I'll talk hockey for four straight hours, you know, and I loved the Islander run last year. It was fun. But even though it's hockey and it's the fourth sport, the Rangers are one of those teams that when they get on a run, the city gets excited.
Unbelievable.
And aren't you feeling, Peter, like there's more excitement for the Rangers in the first round than there were for the Nets?
Yes.
Because I think there are more Ranger fans than Net fans. I mean, I just think that's the way it works. And the Rangers have history here in New York that goes back to 1926.
Yes, there's way more Ranger fans. And also the Ranger fans are incredibly passionate. I was just saying on the call earlier that, you know, every time we take calls, it seems like right now there are Rangers people on the line because people are psyched. They believe this team has a chance to do something, and they've made believers. So I wish more people would get on board with it because, frankly, it's a lot more fun to talk about a team that's really competing for something than, frankly, speculating on hoping that two football teams might turn things around next year. When the truth is, guys, it's nothing but running our yappers until we get to September.
All true. All true. 1-800-919-3776. Quick update. A lot of people have been calling and asking. Absolutely no traction whatsoever in getting into Game 3 at the Garden on Sunday. I'm a complete nobody. I can't even score two tickets to take my 7-year-old son to the game. Can't. I've got no juice in this city. You think that the Rangers who monitored this show would reach out and offer that I could buy tickets? Nothing. Zero.
Well,
zero. I'm a nothing, Don. I'm a nothing.
It's really a shame that you're struggling so mightily, considering who you are.
I'm nobody.
But have you thought about, like, what did Dave do? How did Dave do it?
I don't know.
Because I love Dave, but he's not Michael Kay. He's not the voice of the Yankees. Doesn't have an afternoon drive show named after him. And he got into, you know, the suite and rooted for the team.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's a better schnurr than I am. I don't get it. I'm really just taken aback.
I think people, maybe you should need to make it more known that you're willing to pay for these.
Well, of course I'm willing to pay.
Well, but I think people are looking that you're trying to get a freebie. No, you're willing to pay. You just need the opportunity.
Terrible.
God, there's going to be clients in the suite. That, you know, they don't want to meet Michael Kay.
Who, Kay? How would they not want to meet Michael Kay?
Or Charlie Kay.
Or Charlie Kay, for that matter.
Carlin. Done.
Let's go back to the phones, or go to the phones. Let's go to and start it with Johnny in Huntington. John, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
All good.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to talk about the difference between the Rangers and the Yankees right now. If you're a New York sports fan and you're more excited for the Yankees run than the Rangers, I don't think you're watching the games at all. One. Also, I was younger at the time, back in 2014, but those teams are felt a little different than this team now. But the star power on this team between Panarin, you know, you got Fox, Kreider scoring more than 50 goals this year. I just think they have a better chance than, everyone's giving them. And,
I will tell you this, though, John. If you're a Yankee and a Ranger fan, I mean, the curse of immediacy, you're going to be more excited about the Rangers. But I'm saying, are Yankee fans more excited than Ranger fans right now? Because Ranger fans are in, I don't know how to say this, they're kind of in hold-your-breath mode. Like, let's see what's coming next. And, you know, once the run's over, then you could really just feel great about things, but maybe they are more excited. I'm just saying that Yankee fans feel, and Don and Peter, you could correct me, over the last couple of years, they just seem like they're so disappointed. Well, there's nothing to be disappointed with this team.
But a lot of it has to do with the fact that you go into a season, it's championship or bust. The Rangers don't think that going into seasons. Maybe they will next year, But going into this year, it was, hey, let's just make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, same with even the Mets. Like, I was really excited about this Mets season. And what was my prediction, guys? I think they could be a wild card team. I still thought the Braves were going to win this division. So I don't know if it was championship or bust. Just make the playoffs. But for the Yankees, it's championship or bust. So they can go out there and win 162 games. They can go 162-0. It's not going to matter unless they go out there and win the World Series, where all the other teams can kind of enjoy the ride more. And that caller made a great point, too. The team that went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2014 didn't have as many stars as this team does. That doesn't mean they're a better team overall, because Henrik Lundqvist was the biggest star. But, you know, you look back to, you know, Martin St. Louis and Richards. They had some nice, you know, nice players. They were deep. They didn't have a lot of holes. But Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider. Those are like Fox, who just came off winning a Norris Trophy. There's legit stars on this team.
Let's go to Ray in Sayreville. Ray.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you, Ray?
Good, I'm okay. I just thought, I'm 75 years old and seen a lot of Yankees, of course, and just pretty astonishing that if you take Hicks, kind of Falefa, and our two catches, the total of them in home runs is two. It's just pretty incredible that, you know, that's one-third of our lineup, and they have two homers. I don't know if that's good because maybe they'll get better, or bad because if the other guys stop hitting, we don't have, you know, power from that position. So I'd just like to get your take on it, and I'll hang up.
You know what? It's not a bad take, and it shows you how deep they are because those positions that you mentioned, they're good defenders, which is what the Yankees tried to improve this year. The catching has been extraordinary. Trevino hit a home run yesterday, a three-run home run. He's tied for the top in framing in all of baseball, which is what the Yankees have always craved. And Higashioka is one of the best at that as well, but Trevino is tops. Kanafalefa has hit. He's not a home run hitter. Last year he hit eight home runs. He's not going to hit home runs. He's going to get on base. He's going to run the bases. As for Hicks, that's a conundrum. I don't know what the story is with Hicks. I think he's two for his last, like, 29, something like that. He has not clicked, but they continue to roll along. So you would assume that something better is going to happen. Maybe they find something in Hicks and he gets going, or they bring somebody else in. But to have three or at least two dead spots in there, you could say three because Gallo's a dead spot too, and still win at this clip, it's pretty extraordinary.
Can they actually get better?
I guess they could. I don't know if those specific players can get better. I think Trevino and Higashioka are what they are as hitters. Gallo, I guess, could get closer to the player that he was in Texas. And Hicks, to me, I don't know what Hicks is going to be. I think the skill is there, but you know, he's had such a long layoff where he hasn't been an everyday player. Maybe there's rust there. Not quite sure. 1-800-919-3776. There's been a lot of talk about Gallo, who was 0 for 5 yesterday and 4 strikeouts. And there's one thing that I would take exception to when he explains what he is as a player. One thing. I'll tell you that when we get back. We've got a lot of stuff to do. We're going to have Joel Sherman on in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to have Tim Legler on in the 5 o'clock hour. We've got ENN at 6 o'clock, which is always a joy. So sit down, relax. If you're in the car, just chill. If you're at home, chill. If you have your phone and you have the ESPN New York app, it smells great and you can hear us great. Everything's there for you. It's a big buffet right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Joey Gallo, because I think this is a subject that is worth exploring. And it's brought to you by Diamond Notes, which is brought to you by Nissan. So Joey Gallo has this get-out-of-jail-free card, that he's a three true outcome guy. And that's all he is. Strikeout, home run, and walk. So Randy Miller of NJ.com spoke with him for 20 minutes last week. And Joey said, I wish I was DJ LeMahieu, but I'm playing the hand I was dealt. Stop. First of all, if you're in the big leagues, if you're one of the 700-some-odd people that have made it to the big leagues, you have extraordinary hand-eye coordination. You are the player you are because that's who you want to be. That's who you want to be. So if you watch him, and you've watched the 4 games in Chicago, Paul O'Neill said over and over, all you have to do is throw the pitch high. He has his swing plane. That's it. He does not deviate from his swing plane. the home runs he's going to hit are on pitches that pitchers make mistakes on location-wise. If you make your pitches up in the zone, he's going to swing under it. He's trying to lift and jack the ball out every single time. You cannot convince me that he can't change that a little bit. And although every team in baseball wanted to acquire him, every team, Yankees had a battle to get him. You can't convince me, and I am a devotee of all of the analytics. I'm convinced it works. I see that it works. You tell me, Don and Peter, how hitting 180 with 35 home runs and 230 strikeouts with a .330 on-base percentage is worth it. How? You can't tell me that, let's say you made a trade for Andrew Benintendi, that wouldn't be a better player than Joey Gallo.
I think
Joey Gallo can change, Don, but he's convinced himself since he was 10 years old, this is my swing, I'm a home run hitter. Well, change it.
Well, that's why I said it sounded harsh at the time. I don't think he's a major league ball player.
Why does every major league team want him? They look at him as the white whale.
Because they get captivated by the one thing he does well, and that's hit a lot of home runs. And he's supposed to have a good on-base percentage. So they figure, all right, he's going to hit a lot of home runs, he's going to walk a lot. So we like that. We like guys with good on-base percentages. And he's not a bad fielder.
But glove winner.
If you're telling me that you're going to bat 180, remember when they acquired him, he was more like a 206, 210 hitter. So this guy's still, 20, 30 points off the pace. Well, I'm sorry. The negatives outweigh the positives. They do. Now, maybe at 230, if he ever got to that, and maybe that's what everybody thinks that they can kind of make him become, a guy that will hit for a little bit more of a batting average, and then that way at least 23% of the time he's putting the ball in play rather than 18% of the time. But right now with the batting average where it is, Michael, I'm sorry, you're not a major league ball player. You're not. They made fun of Dave Kingman. Dave Kingman still hit .236. They made fun of Rob Deer. He was still north of .200. These are players that people made fun of. And I understand the analytics, you would look at those types of players differently. But I'm sorry, Michael, if you're batting under .200, I don't care what you do well, you don't belong in the major leagues.
And if
you can't fail that often.
If you're going to bat under .200, you've got to hit close to 50 home runs,
right?
40 to 50 home runs.
Absolutely.
And he's not doing that. So seems like a nice enough guy. But when you say, well, I wish I could be DJ LeMahieu, well, not many people could be DJ LeMahieu, but you could be more than you are. And he refuses to change, and I guess they refuse to get him to change. It's not working. I mean, yesterday he was lost, and Carlos Beltran said on the air yesterday that the only time that he made contact, he cut down his swing because he did not want to strike out four times. Well, then he came up later and struck out again, so he did strike out four times.
Right.
It's in his head, too. I'm sorry, I just don't buy, this is the hand I'm dealt. No. You drew these cards. You wanted this to be the hand.
And I said that about Gary Sanchez, too, Michael. When you're batting 160, don't tell me anything he does well. You can't do anything well when you're putting the ball in play only 16% of the time. This is 18% of the time. And then you become easy to pitch to, so now you're not walking. So it's the one negative. He's not killing them because, again, they have the extra bodies or whatever. But why these general managers all think that he's the white whale, that this is the guy you need? No.
Yeah, it's
not
weird.
At 180.
It's weird. Let's go to Brian in Rockaway. Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call, as always. You guys are like family to me, really.
Thank you, Brian.
Where are you in Rockaway, Brian?
Rockaway Borough. Yeah, kind of like near Denville.
Oh, okay. Rockaway Borough. Got it. Literally.
Cool area of North Jersey, like Morris County.
Got it. Okay, sure. Am I wrong, Don, for when I hear Rockaway, I simply think New York?
That's what I thought.
Rockaway Beach.
Yeah, that's I was Rockaway Beach for my grandparents. I didn't know.
Also,
so
Brian, Peter's going to want
the
address
Ramon's
at
vehicle.
The end of this call. All right?
What do you got,
Yeah,
bud?
But wanted to just piggyback off of the Gallo conversation conveniently. I'm not sure if you guys notice it. I know Peter and Don, you guys, put in the work, you watching the games. Does it look like Gallo, has, a short, small size, bat? It seems like, I don't know, he's waving it like a feather, and it just looks shorter. It looks like my nephew's Little League bat, to be honest. So I'm thinking, maybe that's part of his strikeout problem, but I'm not a baseball, genius to it.
Well, I believe that he chokes up a little bit. And what he's trying to generate is bat speed. So he doesn't want a really heavy bat anyway. He wants to get the bat through the strike zone fast. But it's the same swing plane all the time. I can't profess to know hitting as well as Joey Gallo, but talking to enough ex-players that I work with, you can change the type of hitter you are. Remember, Paul O'Neill was a different hitter with the Cincinnati Reds than he was with the Yankees. You can change.
He couldn't hit lefties, remember?
Well, they wouldn't give him a chance. And also, you know, Lou tried to make him into a home run hitter, which he didn't like. So that's why when you look at his career with the Reds and his career with the Yankees, a .259 hitter with the Reds, over .300 lifetime with the Yankees. So he found something that worked for him. You can change your swing a little bit. It can't just be bail and whale. And, you know, if I strike out 240 times, so be it. But then if you're him, you're probably thinking, well, this is the guy that the Yankees traded for. This is who they wanted.
But I guess the fear is either from him or the Yankees. Yeah, we could probably tweak his swing and get him to be a 200 hitter, a 210 hitter, but then we'll get way less home runs.
But they're not getting that many home runs?
I know. Well, I think that was the logic going in, but now you're not getting the home runs. The batting average is still low. You're just not a major league ball player.
Let's go to Paul in Staten Island. Paulie.
Michael, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just got to hit you a little bit. You had a hard time. You're having a hard time as far as tickets concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Man, you're right. Hey, ESPN. I worked on Wall Street 35 years, man. And a guy with your cabbage, you have your money in different funds or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just drop one phone call. You have tickets, right?
Well, Paul, one thing I said I would pay for tickets. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to pay premium rates that aren't on the ticket. If the ticket is, you know, $200, I'll pay $200. I don't want to get in that bad that I'll pay $1,000. I know if you pay sick money, you can get anything you want in the world. I don't want to do that. So call me terrible. I don't want to have to do that.
And you shouldn't have to.
Well, Michael shouldn't have to.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Michael shouldn't have to. For the importance of this radio station.
I'm nothing.
The relationship that MSG's had with ESPN for going on 20 years now.
I'm trash.
Keep going.
The fact that Dave Rothenberg got in.
You know, they talked about it today on their show.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, let's listen in. I don't even know what they said, but let's listen what they said.
But he couldn't even go to Game 7.
Where was he? Was he in Chicago?
Away. He's in Chicago.
So what is he complaining about?
Because you went and he wasn't invited.
Or he wasn't. Because he couldn't go.
Listen.
What a baby. I know you saying anything negative about the porcelain statue that is Michael Kay is not something that you're used to. But you don't think that's a baby way of acting?
No, I don't think it's a baby way of acting.
You know what? I'm so sick and tired of all of you.
He wants to be included. Like, hey, just pick up the phone. That's it. They ask Michael to do all sorts of different things, to bend over backwards. Just pick up the phone. Hey, Michael.
He couldn't. Why would you ask someone to do something they can't do?
Because you know. Your job is to know the person, right? Like, I'm supposed to know you. I'm supposed to know RJ.
Stop it. I don't want to hear this. They don't even know what they're talking about. I wasn't complaining I wasn't invited to Game 7. I was able to go to Game 5, and I couldn't get a ticket. I'm asking to go to Game 3, and I can't get a ticket. Had nothing to do with Sunday. No, Knicks.
The only thing Sunday has to do with is that it.
That Dave was there, so Dave could get into
Dave
a Game 7, and I couldn't get into a Game 5. That's the only thing, clowns.
Oh, no.
Well, you're trying to get into Game 3, right?
I'm trying to get into Game 3 on this, but the previous series. What was it, Game 5 or Game?
It would have been Game 5.
Yeah.
Or was it 2? I forget which one you had off.
Whatever that day off, I tried to get in. I was told absolutely no way.
That's wrong. That's pure wrong.
And they're breaking down something. They're actually trying to prove a false narrative. Stop it. Rick, you're better than that. Had nothing to do with Sunday.
Oh, no. It was game two because you were saying they were waiting for the phone call, the possible phone call.
Right. So game two, nothing, a nothing game. Are you kidding me? I can't get into game two. I didn't try. I wouldn't even insulted anybody trying to get into game seven. I'm not worthy of that.
Sometimes the chickens come home to roost, Michael.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you're not exactly a hockey guy. You're not exactly overly respectful of the sport. And maybe this is how you pay. Dave's always been a fan, loves it, talks about it. So, you know, I think there's a lot of hockey fans that really don't feel bad for you, Michael, at all.
That's, in other words, Don, you're saying he doesn't have a kick coming.
Wait a second. both of you. Wait 1 second.
Trying to change it up, Peter, but you're right.
How about this?
Yes.
This show talks more hockey. Maybe it's because of you, Don. More hockey than any other show in New York City.
I'm nothing.
So please, hold the pity party. When it's time to talk hockey, we talk it. We break it down for the people.
He's not wrong, also.
No, but also, Peter, I don't think the world's thinking, well, we got to get Michael into this game.
Well, I mean, the Rangers are listening. I want to go to game three.
But here's where where Michael does have a kick coming, Peter.
Okay.
Is the Charlie factor.
Right.
Single Michael has no interest. He wants to take his son. A future hockey fan. Maybe a future hockey player. We don't know. Michael certainly has the funds to make that happen.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Hockey's very expensive.
He doesn't seem like he likes to ice skate, though, so I think that would be an impediment.
That would be a huge obstacle
to
overcome.
You got to try. Yeah, you got to try a little more.
Yeah, I don't think he likes that. So Dave's arguing about something that I never said, and I'm the one who complimented how slim he looked. Now you could go gain weight again. I don't care.
That's how
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
Who was that from? The movie, like the DVD case, the hug, that or actual?
No, I think that was in the suite.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Let me put this out there. Let me put this out there in the universe, okay? If I can't get tickets to game three.
Here we go.
Maybe it's time for me to go.
That one kind of hit different.
Yeah.
Like, you usually say it as kind of just whiny and you that one hit different. I felt that one.
You felt like he actually might think if he's putting out the message, he's saying it loud and clear. If no one hears this message, he may just walk away into that.
Now, I've got a line I can't say on the air.
Go ahead.
But, you know, basically, Michael wants you to bow at the altar of Michael.
That's not true. That's not what I'm trying here.
I can't say what I really want to say. You know the phrase.
Yeah.
If you're not bowing at the altar, you disrespect him. Michael really feels like he looks at respect a little differently. This is true disrespect. This isn't contrived, right? This isn't him looking at things negatively. Him not getting into game three would truly be being disrespected by this radio station.
And also, Don, I got to look in my son's eyes and go, I couldn't come through. Daddy couldn't come through for you.
And that's the worst thing a father can go through is to tell his kids, no, I can't do something. You're Superman to this child.
Right.
That you could do anything. And something as simple as a game three in the second round, you have to say no to him. And then Michael says he'll walk. You know what, Peter? For the first time, I believe him.
Wow.
And you know what? It's not a threat. It's not a threat.
No.
Here's what I'm saying. If I'm not high enough on the food chain to get a pair of tickets to see the Rangers game three, not any clinching game, then I'm just not – I shouldn't be here. I'm not good enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not smart enough. Might be time for me to go. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever.
It's different.
With their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. When's the 20th anniversary of this show, Don? You keep those numbers in your head.
The 20th anniversary is July 15th.
Of this year.
That's right.
You know, that would be a perfect time to walk away.
No.
You know what? I would be shocked on July 15th if you were working.
So now we're just to be clear. We're expecting Michael to walk away now.
I'm hearing this. They still could come through, Peter. But if they don't, I would not be shocked if on July 15th, Michael's not here.
Listen to this comment by the Barber and Cigar Company. Hey, Michael, you're not the first in mind when the Rangers are handing out tickets. It's like a Golf Channel thing of Don McGregor for a future event.
He's not wrong.
It's a fair argument, actually, when he says it that way.
Let's take a brief time out because I've got a lot to consider. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Andrade Idolo.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This. is the Michael Kay Show.
Of all the fans of all the teams in New York, you'd have to say the Yankee fans probably the happiest. Now, you could say, well, how about the Ranger fans? I think the Ranger fans are nervous right now. The Yankee fans are full of expectations. The Yankee fans are looking at a team that's 25-9. Yankee fans are looking at a team that's on the same pace as a team that won 114 games. Yankee fans are looking at a team that's playing good baseball in every way, shape, or form. Even the ones that are doomsayers, even the ones that say, get back to me when you win the World Series, there's no way that they can't feel great about what's happening. Another victory last night, more home runs, good pitching out of the bullpen. What's there to be upset about? It's all peaches and cream.
The Michael Kay Show.
I'm trash.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's get started in the 4 o'clock hour with a game of rest roulette, everybody.
Oh, nice.
Today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Now, I think that Peter
gets
the honor today because he was so brilliant yesterday guessing against all odds that it was going to be Aaron Judge. So, Peter, you get first try. Who's getting the pine today?
I'm going to go the guy I throw out the most often, Aaron Hicks.
Don?
Yeah, that was going to be my guess.
Let's see. Leading off playing third base, DJ LeMahieu. Batting second playing center field, Aaron Judge.
I knew it.
Could be Donaldson.
Batting third playing first base, Anthony Rizzo.
Sure.
Batting fourth and playing right field, Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Batting fifth, the DH, Josh Donaldson.
Oh, Peter.
We're looking good.
Batting sixth, playing second base, Gleyber Torres. Batting seventh, playing left field, Joey Gallo. Batting eighth, and playing shortstop, Isaiah Kina. Falefa.
Thank
you. And batting ninth and catching, Kyle Higashioka.
That's a streak, ladies and gentlemen.
Bang, bang!
2 days in a row, Peter's nailed it.
I don't like Peter because Peter doesn't know anything about sports.
He doesn't even watch the Yankees.
I think you're watching more Yankees than Don because I'm getting texts from you during games.
Yeah, no, I think he is.
I check in every night. I'm not going to sit here and lie to anyone and tell you I watch for 3.5 hours. Sometimes four. But I'm in every night. I'm checking in every night.
Yesterday's game was only 257.
Which is very rare for
Orioles.
Orioles.
Camden?
Yes. Look, how does Peter know this stuff?
He's
very
in.
Rare for an Orioles affair, yeah.
I know. Wow.
He's in. He's
how can
in.
You not pay attention to this team? They're
you
sexy.
Gotta. And when you're like, when the announcer on the TV side is one of your closest friends in all earth, how could you not?
It's a great point. Yep. I love Paul O'Neill.
That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea
Cameron Maben.
Of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees.
There you go. You had a little Maben and Beltran yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fun. Ooh, how's that combo?
It's great. Everything's great. I love everybody.
See that? See, you sounded sincere before.
No, I am sincere.
But Don, now it sounds like he hates one of them and he's lying. Am I right?
I love both of them.
Okay.
There's no one that works for Yes that I don't like. Well, let me amend that. No one working on the Yankee broadcast at Yes that I don't like.
Interesting. So have you had a falling out with Ian?
No, I love Ian.
Well, let's get to the
bottom
of this.
Did you have any conversations, Michael, to address the issue that I pointed out to you the other day?
Uh-oh.
What was that?
I'd rather not say it on the air, but I sent you a message the other day with some current concerns I had about the Yes Network. And you said
I looked into it. The reply was that I am right, but they're not sure it could be changed.
Ooh, wow. I can't know this. This is not for air.
This is not, no.
I'll text you, Don.
Well, it's time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London. The engagement shop at London Jewelers. So listen to Billy Epler about the latest MRI of Jacob DeGrom. Billy Epler is the Mets GM.
We're pleased with what we saw yesterday. That was good. I was happy to get that news last evening, and I didn't want to bother everybody at 9 o'clock last night. Figured some of you might have had plans or something and been doing some things. So I just waited till this morning just to let everybody know that it was good. So he's going to get to, you know, move back further and throw harder. And so those are good things.
Now, here's where I have concern. He's still not allowed on a mound. Move back further and throw harder. He's still not allowed on a mound. So Buck Showalter, like a month ago, just casually mentioned the All-Star game. I think that's when it's going to be, Don.
Yeah.
It's not going to be in June. Mm. He hasn't stepped on a mound yet. It's May 17th. So once he steps on a mound, that's essentially a six-week process. So let's say that everything, he might have to get another MRI. They say that it's healing, but they never used to say the word that it's healed. And they're not saying that he could step on a mound. So I'm a little concerned.
Now, when does extended spring training end? Is that over now?
Yeah, but he could play for the A-ball team if he wants.
Okay, because you got to find a mound, got to pitch. Yeah, I always kind of figured the All-Star break just because it's the midway point as, like, my line. Like, anything earlier than that, I'd be surprised. Anything later, I'd be disappointed. So I kind of thought June was a pipe dream anyway. But, yeah, you want the MRI to be clear so it's healed. And now you just get him on the mound, hopefully within the next few weeks, and get him ready for July. You know, they have a nice lead here in the division.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, right? Because they just lost a series, and I think the lead is 5.5 over the closest pursuer.
They're the only team in the division above 500. Phillies Amazing. Are in second place, a game under. The Marlins are kind of dropping back to earth here. They've only won 4 of their last 10. And then Atlanta's still 4 under, and Washington's, you know, 13 under. So, yeah, take advantage of it. This kind of has, for the Yankees too, but to a lesser extent, just because I do think the Blue Jays are legit good and the Rays are legit good. But this could be like 86 for the Mets in the sense that, like, they really didn't have any competition. They beat out the Phillies by like 25.5 games in 86. Like, yeah, listen, Michael, I think if you're, again, Philadelphia has been, you know, better as of late. They've won 6 of 10, and their run differential is pretty good at plus 18. But you're a game under 500. We're like 35 games into the season here. I know it's still early, but to be under 500, and you're chasing after a team that's 10 over, and the Mets are winning today.
I'm going to need a score.
It's 2-0, bottom 3.
Okay.
And the Mets are batting with a runner at second and nobody out, so looking to see if they can add to this lead in the first of 2 at Citi Field.
Let me ask you a question. Will there be extracurricular activities in the series against the Cardinals?
The only way is if, like, one of these games gets out of hand.
But now, I wonder, if Alonso plays first in any of the games, he's standing right next to Stubby Clapp.
Yeah.
The guy who tackled him from behind, which is kind of a cheap way to do it. I think the Mets took note of that.
We're not going with the great Stubby Clapp?
No.
Okay.
No. Because when you tackle somebody from behind, you're not the great anything.
Wow.
But this is a 4-game series, so there's ample time. But still, you know, the Mets just came off losing 2 out of 3. Cardinals are a good team. I wouldn't want to see Alonso get thrown out of a game, ironically enough, as he steps to the plate here. But I do think, you know, if we get to Thursday afternoon and, you know, it's 10-0, because I think this will be it for them, right? They're not playing the Cardinals again the rest of the year.
That's it.
You know, so, yeah. But as long as the games are competitive, as much as I think it irks Alonso and the Mets what happened with Arenado, you got to win the games. So
this Cardinals pitcher really going for an aggressive rope chain while pitching. You don't see a necklace that big every day on a pitcher.
I've been, Peter, it's funny. I've been noticing people are wearing, like, huge chains on the mound. That would distract me. Although, a couple of the Yankees have been wearing diamond, like, chains. I think I'm going to get one because I see how you rock one every day.
Well, these are gold.
I might go with a diamond necklace.
I think diamond's a bit aggressive for you because, I mean, you're looking at probably, depending on the length, you might be, you know, dropping 10 grand. On a diamond necklace.
Well, am I going to take it with me?
Well, that's a great point. Who was it who lost theirs last year? Lindor?
Lindor, yeah.
Yeah, that's because he had diamonds on. Gold, you're not going to lose. The diamonds, though, pop off.
No, though, I think Baez lost it.
Oh, was Baez?
Lindor was looking for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've ever
found was, it. That, by the way, see, that's something to think about. What a far cry it is from now to long. They were at such joke status at that moment, Don. Like, everyone in the entire organization was on the field searching around for this diamond.
Yeah.
It was so pathetic. I just feel like they feel like a completely different franchise. And I wonder why, they literally reset the entire thing. It works.
So Mikolas's big, thick chain.
Yeah.
You found distracting, not his red porn mustache.
The whole look is...
look is 76 porn.
What adult movies are you watching that people have red mustaches?
Was doing like, porn.
You never heard...
Part of his search terms.
Wait a minute. Honestly. The movie Hard Bodies, 1984. That wasn't porn. It was a movie. But you've never heard porn
hard
stash.
Bodies
That's not something you've heard before.
A porn stash?
Yeah.
But not red.
But his red.
Right, he has a red porn stash.
Yeah, he's got
it's
red
not
there.
That it's a inherent it's not that because it's red it's a porn stash.
No.
That's the variety of porn stash that he has. But it's just a really interesting look. Like a lot of people wear chains and a lot of people wearing diamond necklaces, but Mikolas is wearing like it's like an old school hip hop dookie rope. He looks like he borrowed it from Slick Rick. Like it's crazy.
Let's go to the phones.
Like the Irish Beastie Boys.
Let's go to Chris in Bay Ridge. Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Just wanted to also thank you guys. You know, you guys provide a lot of entertainment while I'm at work in the car. I'm a police officer, so I listen to you guys every day.
Thanks for your
service. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. So I just had two quick Yankee questions. One being that when this the catcher that they acquired, when he gets healthy, I don't know what the options are like, but is there a chance where they send Higashioka down and keep Trevino?
I think Ben Rortvedt, when he gets healthy, and it looks like he might have some sort of knee surgery, Chris, I don't think he's coming up this year. I think they'll stay with Higashioka and Trevino because Ben Rortvedt's not a great hitter either. So he's a real good defender. And if you look at it, if you're going for defense, the two guys they have now are about as good as you can get. So if Rortvedt does get healthy, I don't think he'll be up.
Okay, and then my second question was just come July trade deadline time, do you see a scenario where they try to move either, again, Hicks' contract is kind of terrible, Hicks or Joey Gallo to try to upgrade them? Because them two in the lineup together has been pretty brutal.
You know what? I guess there's a market for Gallo because there were so many teams that wanted him before. I don't know if there's going to be a market for Hicks, but I don't think that whether you trade them or not would stop you from improving the position. So it's a tough call. I know they like both players, but if both players continue to not produce at the level that they have to, I guess they consider because, hey, you want to make it as sure a thing as possible when you go into the postseason. You don't want to have automatic outs in the lineup. And I believe that, you know, Hicks is a better player than what he's shown, and he has walked a lot. So his on-base percentage is actually decent. But right now he's in the throes of a slump that, you know, at best is concerning. At worst is troubling.
Well, you get to the playoffs, Michael, you're probably just not playing Gallo unless you just need a lefty off the bench late in the game.
No, I don't agree. Run. I don't agree. They'll play him. It does give them defense.
I understand that, but it's just that's such a glaring hole in the lineup.
I know, but I think they'll play him.
Even if this continues all year?
Yeah, this is the guy they acquired. Now, did they think he was going to hit 150? No.
Well, that's the thing. That's not the guy they acquired.
You know, it's close.
He's hitting
he's not
like
that
four,
far off from.
Yeah, but he's still a career 206 hitter, I think, when they acquired him. So, what is he, batting 180 now? He's 26 off the pace. There was a time, I think he hit 166 last year for them when he after the deal. So, you think they still would have acquired him if he was under 200 from Texas?
Well, I mean, in Texas he was hitting 205, so he wasn't. Right.
No, but 205 is a big difference. You know, 205 to 166, now he's 180.
Right.
We've almost come because it was at the trade deadline, right? So we're not quite a full year he's been a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
So his batting average is still like 30 points off his normal pace, 40 points off his pace. I mean, that's pretty significant. So I would argue he's not the player that they acquired.
They gave up a lot for him. They gave up a lot for him. So I think they're gonna play this out. Now, to the point, would they risk – losing in the playoffs? Well, their team is good enough that you could carry dead bats. And he is going. He's a good defender. He's a Gold Glove winner.
Well, that's why I think you can put him in for defense at the end of games. You can have him pinch hit against a righty in the bullpen.
All right, so, but okay, who are you playing then? So you're going to play Judge in center, Stanton in right. Who's playing left? Is it Hicks?
Well, you can play Hicks if he's got a good on-base percentage. At least that's something. As off as he's been, he's still a better hitter than Gallo is.
Let's go to Russell in Woodbridge. Russell.
Hi, Michael, Donna, Peter. Love you guys.
Thank you, man.
I'm just calling in for Donnie. Donnie, I love you. This is not a bone I'm picking. I'm a rational, level-headed Yankee fan.
Okay.
96, 98, 99, 2000, greatest years of our lives. Okay? Joe Torre went to the World Series 6 out of 12 years, 50% of the time. New York called for his head. And in turn, the Steinbrenner family called for his head. If anybody deserved to punch their ticket, it was him. Write your own script, and we called for Joe's head.
Right.
They set the ball for us Yankee fans. Okay, last year, as Michael knows, June, I didn't think we had a shot in making the playoffs. My friend said, give it till August. I thought we were dead. Cole blows it in Fenway. Okay. You know what? I look back. The season was great. We didn't do it. It's 30 teams. It is a crapshoot. It's not going to happen every year. And I had John Paul's on the DVR, Don. You said, you know, everything. You're right. Everything is going perfect. Guy calls in. Oh, Chapman. Chapman's a roller coaster every time he steps out there. We all know that. You know, maybe it'll change. Maybe it won't. But, I have no expectations every year. But they put this out there. And from your vantage point, I would think the same thing. Hearing all the calls, being a Met fan on your side. I get it. You think we're all nuts. I am so realistic as far as, like, you know, you can't win every year. You can't. You just, it's not possible.
What you're saying, Russell, because what you're saying is that I call it the Steinbrennerization of a generation. Because George said anything short of a World Series is a failure. The owner of the team said that. And there are people that grew up with that.
Time he went to the World Series, we called for his head. Not me. I'm sorry. That was a travesty. That's like Isaiah not being on the Dream Team. I just have one question real fast, and then you guys could debate this afterwards. The yes, pick and play. And I'm only using your platform for my voice. I know you guys have nothing to do with it. You know, the game on the app, you play along. You got to put in who's going to hit a single, a double, a triple. How many strikeouts a pitcher's going to have every night, whether it's Severino, the run scored and the hits, you got Emmanuel Anthony. That's fine. Peter and Michael and Don, if you could just let Peter answer this. And Peter, I love you. I'm just, you know, you might be the least one to know. How many triples do you think the Yankees hit last year as a team? Just throw out a number.
Okay, well, give me a second to think about.
No problem.
I would say
collectively.
Collectively, the Yankees hit 35 triples.
No.
12.
No.
And three of them from Gardner, and two of them were from Urshela. Actually, maybe six of them total were from half the guys that aren't on the team anymore. So the contest that they're running every night, you know, I'm just saying that they're offering $25,000 every night, but it's improbable. If you're going to give away $25,000, make it hard, make it impossible, but not improbable.
Well, what's the thing? Why would you rather have it be impossible than improbable?
No, well, I know it should pay out better. You're saying.
I got my words confused there, Mike. I apologize. What I'm trying to say, triple is going to happen. What, 10 triples this year? So nobody's got a shot at it with the pick and play. And
No. So what is the pick and play about triples? What's the over-under?
In other words, every night you got to enter for the $25,000 grand prize. You got to enter a person who's going to hit a single, a double, a triple, a home run, the pitcher, strikeouts.
Well, Rizzo had a triple in Chicago.
What's that?
Rizzo had a triple in Chicago. I mean, Isaiah Kanepelefa is a guy that could hit a triple. I mean, first of all, they're giving away 20. I don't play the game because I'm on the air. But if you're going to give $25,000 away, you're not going to make it easy. Yeah, people could get triples.
But it sounds like you get $25,000 if somebody hits for the cycle?
No. You have to pick a guy who gets a single, pick a guy who gets a double, pick a guy who gets a triple, and pick a guy who hits a home run.
I agree that really hard. It should be probably more money, but I don't know what you're allowed to do in those situations.
Don, you're not putting up any money though.
No, I understand that. I just don't know. Is there a regulation how much you can give away?
I don't know, but I mean, they don't make Mega Millions easy.
Just curiosity, trying to figure out how stupid I am, Michael. That last year, the 12 triples for the Yankees, was that an especially slow season?
Well, they don't hit triples. And last year they weren't a very athletic team. This year I think they can hit some triples.
Mm. Got it.
But still, like, what's a good year for a triple now? 20 for a team?
And also the Yankees, Yankee Stadium does not yield triples the way the ballpark is. I mean, this place here in Camden Yards might be. Detroit is a great triples ballpark, so it's hard to hit triples.
But to the caller's point, they did eventually call for Joe Torre's head. And why did they call for his head? Because after winning four championships in 5 years, what happened, Michael? There was no championships. There was one World Series loss in 03. You blew a 3-0 series lead to the Red Sox. I mean, they're going to call for your head at some point. I mean, I don't think any fan base, because the Giants were calling for Tom Coughlin's head after two Super Bowls, that if you do have a stretch where you don't win, eventually they're going to call for your head, right? They won the championship in 2000, and he was, and what, his last year was 07?
Right, and then they turned to Girardi, and they didn't make the playoffs that year.
Right, so you got 7 years of no championships, two World Series losses, and blew a 3-0 series lead, first team in the history of baseball to do it against the hated Red Sox. So, yeah, it took a little time, but I don't think people – were you shocked they were calling for his head at that point?
I guess they were getting disgusted, but again, they've been brought up to think if you don't win a World Series, it's a failure. But let's also say one thing: Yankees did offer him a 1-year deal, but he didn't, and they gave him a slight pay cut, which he could have made up if he did win the World Series. He didn't want to do that. I don't blame him. I don't blame them. And then he went on to the Dodgers, had a nice run there. But he's in the Hall of Fame. Everybody's happy.
I think the biggest sin for Boone, and it's not even his fault, is that he took over for Joe Girardi, who got the team to Game 7 of the League Championship Series, and Boone hasn't been able to do that. So they kill him. But don't you think Boone has something to do with this team being the best team in baseball? I think so. But then again, I think Joe Torre probably had a lot more to do with those Yankees teams than Boone has now, just the way the game has changed.
Right. He didn't manage from numbers. He managed from gut. That was a diamond note. It's brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. New York Post John Heyman reporting Matt Harvey receiving a 60-game suspension for his violation of the joint drug program between MLB and the MLBPA.
So what drug is that?
Well, I mean, he was in the middle of that Tyler Skaggs thing, and then he said that he did cocaine, remember?
He acknowledged it a lot.
That's what I'm saying. It may not be PEDs. It might be something else.
Schmiedes.
All right. Yeah, Joel Sherman's going to join us in just a moment. He has a new podcast out with John Heyman. We'll talk about that and a lot of stuff going on in New York baseball. So stick around. It's all coming up on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Joel Sherman, when the Yankees got Joey Gallo, it seemed to me that so many teams wanted Joey Gallo. Do you think the Yankees have buyer's remorse?
The day of that trade, there was only one person, at least in print, who panned the trade, and that was me. I felt like they were acquiring the left-handed Gary Sanchez, and they already had the right-handed one. I knew enough about his background in Texas to wonder if that guy would be able to handle New York. I have not seen yet that he has. I wonder, is he the hitting Sonny Gray? He'll be fine in other places, but it's just not going to work here great. And I think the one thing we know is, to me, he's just not going to hit postseason pitching.
The Michael K. Show.
Listen to it on Apple, Spotify, and whatever the hell Stitcher is.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Covered baseball beautifully today. Beautifully.
I have an announcement, if I can take a second.
Sure.
To use this forum at 504 in the big city.
Go ahead.
Is to wish my mom, Julia Ann LaGreca, a happy 80th birthday today.
Wow.
Wow. 80. She doesn't look a day over 60.
No, she looks great.
Terrific.
Feels
and
great
a great too. Lady, too.
Going to see her this weekend.
What's the plan? What are you doing?
Oh, we're going to have a nice a nice little get together for her, for sure.
I'm guaranteeing Dave's not there.
No. It's gonna be all about Dave and
really
his lovely wife and family and my family and try to get together. And
now there's no chance.
The edible arrangement came this morning. I sent her.
There's no chance that while you're sitting there trying to have a nice meal to celebrate your beautiful mother's 80th birthday, that as the cake is being cut, Thunder Rosa shows up and attacks Dave LaGreca at the middle of this birthday. That would be horrifying.
It's possible. if you remember Thanksgiving, we carved out 30 minutes to play back the video of him getting thrown into the wall of beer cans.
Yes, remember
that? That your mother hated that, right?
Well, she's not a fan. And then what happened the last time we were over by my brother, we got to see his roast.
Wow, like there's always something. Or?
No, he got.
Oh, they roasted him. Oh.
Over at.
Really?
It was a big deal in certain circles, Michael. When he was in Dallas for WrestleMania, they roast. They rented a room and he was roasted.
Did you see the story today, Peter, that Netflix is starting a series of roasting sports stars?
Wow.
That's called The Greatest Roast of All Time, and the first one is – it's called Groat, and the first one is Tom Brady.
Oh, that'll be a bore.
Might be a bore, but people will rip
him. Yeah, but athletes are not generally funny.
Oh, I'm sure they'll have comedians do it.
Yeah, they can't just
that.
Be – no, there has to be. Brady will be there?
Yeah.
So they're going to – is he going to be part of the panel, or is he going to be roasted?
He's going to be roasted. And then he has to get up and answer it later. I'll be written. He'll be terrific.
I'm good.
We're 37 and a half. What do you mean you're good? You won't watch that?
No.
What if they get Bill Belichick to come on and roast him?
No.
You know what?
I'm being honest. I have zero interest.
Peter,
and at this stage of my life,
you,
I got a lot going on. I'm not going to sit and watch something I have zero interest in.
Mama's Family.
I don't watch Mama's Family. Not anymore. If it happened to be on, like in quarantine, I watched some quality stuff. I watched the first three episodes of The Offer, which was terrific.
You still haven't watched Winning Time, though.
No, I mean, I'm good on that, too.
Oh.
The ship sailed on it. No, it's on. It left the dock. But the Offer is good. I'm enjoying that.
That's a shame that you just gave up on Winning Time.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
He didn't give up on it. It's like me with mayonnaise. He never tried it.
No, I never tried it. But now it's out. Now it's
– Well, why is it out, though? It's only the first season.
I'm good.
But hold on. This
he's so stubborn and
you're very childish.
What if let me ask you this. What if they had like a Winning Time with the Edmonton Oilers of the early 80s? You wouldn't give it a sniff.
Of course I would.
Of course I would. With Messi and Gretzky?
You wouldn't watch.
Of course we would. That would be fascinating.
You're crazy, Don. You're out of your mind.
Hold on. But by the way, you got to make it apples to apples. It's also being produced by one of the great producers and directors in Hollywood, and starring one of the best actors in Hollywood.
I don't.
And by the way, it's stacked.
I think I'm not being that guy. I've watched. I've been in and out a little bit, you know. But just I haven't had a lot of time, and now I feel like I'm late to the party. I can't keep up with the conversation. But this Brady thing, the athletes of the road, zero. I mean, like sub zero interest. Like genuinely would not. Like, TV off would win.
I'm interested.
Like, staring at the wall.
Michael,
seems
I would...
like a glorious option.
You know,
I'm with
talk
you.
About it, Peter.
Yeah, I can't be the only person that feels this way. It's not anti-Brady. It's anything. If they were roasting Eli, I wouldn't watch. I don't care.
If you ducked in, right, and saw someone Winning Time, and then you didn't stay there, you have no taste whatsoever in that.
No, I did. I'll tell you the scene that kind of sucked me in. It was, they're going to Philadelphia. Kareem can't go. Magic's going to play center. And I remember that. It was a big deal and, like, how happy he was to do it. And, it was well acted. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the scene. But I just don't think I can go back and watch all those episodes, be behind you guys. So that's all I'm saying. I feel like the ship sailed on me.
But you watch movies that you've seen 100 times. You haven't seen this. You make no sense sometimes.
I'm my own person.
You are, and it's a weird person.
I don't think it's that weird.
Peter, help me out here. Who's right, who's wrong?
About which part?
Everything.
I think it's unfortunate that Don digs in sometimes when he does, because this is silly. This is something that's right up his alley. It's a great watch. Everyone he knows recommends it. Andrew, you fully recommend this too, correct?
I love it. Yeah, I've got one left. It's been great.
I think you are now digging in just to be that guy.
Maybe.
You said I'm not trying to be that guy. I think you are 100%
trying to be
the guy.
I don't have to try to be what I am. I am what I am. I'm like Popeye.
You are like
Popeye.
By the
way, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Sure.
Mets have the second game of the doubleheader. What's the score of the first game, Donald?
Oh, it is 3-0 Mets, top six. Yadier Molina. Getting a look at him maybe for the last few times ever.
All right. And then we have the Yankees and the Orioles tonight. Spencer Watkins goes for the Orioles and Jameson Taillon for the Yankees.
And
not in New York, but we have the Heat and the Celtics.
Ray Rowe.
Which you could hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So that's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Now, speaking of basketball, LeBron did something really fun last night. I don't know if you saw this, Peter.
What's that?
He just got on Twitter and said, "What you got?" And he answered people's questions. I mean, that's when Twitter is just phenomenal. And the one of the answers that jumped out at me, who would you take in a classic dunk contest? And he said, Zach LaVine, Dominique Wilkins, I forget the third person, and him. Vince Carter was the third person, and LeBron. He left out Jordan.
Wow. And by the way, Zach LaVine, I mean, he's really good, but you're already putting him in the...
You're leaving Zach LaVine in there instead of Larry Nance and Michael Jordan.
How about Spud Webb? I mean, that was something.
And I mean, has LeBron ever been in the dunk contest?
No, he has not, which is what makes it particularly weak.
Yeah, but if you look at his Twitter feed, he answers a lot of questions. I mean, Babe Ruth didn't answer questions on Twitter.
No, not I can guarantee that.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here it is, Peter. Could be life-altering. It could mean the end of the show as we know it.
Okay.
Steve Cangelosi, who's great at what he does, has announced that he's stepping down as the play-by-play voice on MSG of the New Jersey Devils.
What?
Oh, wow.
Now, Don is one of the finest hockey play-by-play people in the world.
Wow.
It's in his backyard. It's his. It has to be his job. And you know who the color analyst is, right, Peter?
I don't.
Ken Danico.
Oh, my
God. Don
friend.
And Ken, thick as thieves.
Thick as thieves we are. He
you,
comes to the Sasso.
You get your agent, and you get him to call right now. You can take the rest of the show off. You get him to call right
Fix
this
that.
Second.
I'd be honored to be considered.
Oh, see, we finally got the truth out of this guy.
So you would do it?
Well, Kenny's not going anywhere. Sam's not going anywhere.
Right. Why would he not?
I'll say he's very interesting.
When did you find this out, Don? Before Michael said something or no?
Oh, I had heard about this for a while.
Whoa!
Internecine things happening.
But it wasn't my place to say until it's officially announced, but there was scuttlebutt.
Wow.
Yeah!
Now, let's say they gave you the Devil's play-by-play gig, Don.
Yes.
And they say you've got to give up the radio show. What do you do?
Well, I don't want to start a deal in hypotheticals. I don't want to turn into Lou Lamoriello here, but, you know, I don't like to deal in hypotheticals.
Interesting.
There's too many factors that are not on the table.
You're like working money. Too hard, bro.
I mean, I got a family.
Right.
So there's things that have to be considered here.
Right.
Not just job A versus job B. There's financial ramifications and things. So.
Oh, I understand. I know how the business works. So does Peter.
Wow.
I told you this could change the world as we know it, Peter.
Well, hold on.
Who do we bring in as the third person on the show then?
Why would we have to lose him?
Oh, it's a lot of heavy lifting to be the television voice of a team. Very few exceptional people can pull it off.
Well, hey there.
I've seen it.
I guess I'm not exceptional.
It's hard, Don.
I of course the degree of difficulty is not up for debate here. What's up for debate is, you know, the allowances, right? I mean, so obviously you're able to do these things because the games you broadcast are on the same network in which you do the show.
Right,
so,
right. Oh,
you know,
that's
but again,
right.
These
so,
are, you know, yeah. Cart before horse.
A lot of things to work out, Peter.
It's very interesting information. Thank you.
So what do we do, Pete? I mean, do we reach out to Carlin or Rothenberg? I mean, who do we exactly do? How about DiPietro?
I don't see why we'd have to lose.
I don't see why this is even a conversation.
Yeah, everybody out there, why don't you tweet at us? Who should we reach out if Don makes this unbelievable move?
That's a great, great point.
I guys, honestly.
If we lost Don, by the way, Michael, we might as well just can the show.
I mean,
No. See, I've always said I wouldn't do the show without Don if they fired Don. But if Don moves on, then we've got to consider.
There is still way more of a chance of you walking because of not getting the tickets having to make this life-altering decision. Okay,
but it would be smart for them to at least think about it. I don't know, Michael. I don't know if you know this. I don't want to speak out of school. You know, Don grew up a Devils fan.
I know. Yeah. I know. But thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, there's some who even speculate that his fanship goes to it went to extreme levels. Some used to say.
I know. I've seen it.
I was passionate about the team back in the day, but then work takes you in a different direction. But right now,
I'm
Michael
Peter,
K. Show.
I taught him that.
And I don't plan on leaving the show.
You know what? You know what it feels like, Michael?
What's that?
It feels like during ENN, we need to have an impromptu press conference asking Don LaGreca about this opening.
Have you ever heard him more circumspect? He always has an opinion on everything. He's stumbling and bumbling here like he's some politician.
Am I stumbling?
You're measuring each word. It's sickening.
I might be monitoring myself, but I'm stumbling and bumbling, Peter? Honestly. Mm-mm.
I was not going to say
that. I'm very measured.
The reason I want to have the impromptu press conference is because he's giving us very athlete press conference answers, but not because he's stumbling. He's actually deflecting quite well.
So here's how I would go for the three that would be on. I'd say DiPietro first, Carlin second, Rothenberg third.
Rothenberg and Rosenberg? So that's a lot.
Have to deal with that.
It's a mouthful. Speaking of mouthful, Carlin. I love Chris. Love Chris.
Let me ask a question while you're pondering that question. Does the list change if I leave to Michael leaving, or is it
That's
the same
a
list?
Great
of people?
Question, Donnie. Great question. Different skill sets. I mean, what are you looking for if you're replacing me or replacing you?
Because I've always had this thing where I believe that whoever replaced you, then that becomes the name of the show. You know what I mean? So they got to find somebody, then it becomes the whatever show.
Well, let's take a brief time
out. I don't think
out.
My role is going to change at all. But listen, this is ridiculous conversation. It really is. It's almost laughable. I'm not going anywhere.
We'll see. Stay tuned, everybody. This could get fun right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, I'm thinking about this. If Don actually does leave the show, Peter, you know that ESPN, the way they just drool over football, it could be the guy that stitches the names on the back of the Jet jerseys. They might have a better chance to get the job than anybody else. If it's football. But there's going to be a lot of people saying, Peter, I don't know how you feel about this. The guy who does the commercials for Bet Rivers, that might be somebody to consider too.
New York.
You think they'd throw him in the Devil's job too?
No. I'm talking about replacing us.
Replacing Don?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Mike and me?
And you. A lot of people are saying Don goes, Peter has to go. I don't know why. They're hooking
why
that
am
up.
I go? Why am I leaving?
No, nobody's going anywhere,
know.
Guys. Stop it.
I had a dream the other day. I saw Mike Francesa.
Where'd you see him?
In my dream. I forget, but I apologize for all the mean things I've said about him over the years.
Really?
In the dream I did. In real life I wouldn't. But in the dream I did.
I had a dream last night that I was at a summer camp with the Yankees.
You were at summer camp with the Yankees?
Right, and with the current Yankees. And I spent the entire time trying to track down Brian Cashman and apologize to him for suggesting he should be let go. And Brian wouldn't talk to me.
You know what? That's a very realistic dream.
I did suggest it last year, Peter, as just hey, if you're not living up to expectations and, you know.
And then he said, here, hold my drink. How's this expectation? Well, I'm sorry.
I have a job to give an opinion.
Yeah, well, it was a bad one.
Oh, okay.
The beauty of doing play-by-play on TV, though, never have to give an opinion. Just say what's going on the ice.
Well, I'm going to be giving opinions for a long, long time, Michael. Where am
Do
I
you
going?
Know, Peter, that I was texted by an executive? I'm not breaking up my morning show. Can you imagine how quickly Rick would want to leave Dave?
Oh, my.
Like they say, do you want to join Michael? Yes.
Do you know that, just throw this out there, I know you love the man. Do you know that we'd want to work with Rick every day?
I would want to live with him every day.
See, that's not true.
See, that's then, you know, you don't blank where you eat, so I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't
goodbye,
work.
Goodbye, yes.
Though.
Goodbye,
oh,
yes.
Oh, goodbye.
But, yeah, I think Rick would be a lot of fun to work.
But you have no idea what he's like to work with. Zero
idea.
I
didn't have any idea what you were to work with.
And it happened to work out. It happened to work out.
Yes, it
but
did.
But it is a total crapshoot. It's a total crapshoot.
Well, anytime you hire somebody for this kind of job, it's a total crapshoot.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know who Don was going to be when they had him.
Oh,
well,
you didn't have any respect for me.
They didn't know who he was either. They thought he was coming in to fix the vending machines.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, do you want to do an update?
Which he's very good at.
Yeah.
Michael thought that I was the guy that was supposed, like, if the wire dropped or whatever, the connection dropped, that I was the guy that fixed it.
But wait a second. That's what I was told.
Well, no, I know.
We're going to have Don LaGreca there in case the line goes down.
Right.
And if you need him.
Right.
I didn't need you at the time.
Meanwhile.
The line didn't go down.
Meanwhile, tell me if this sounds familiar. I was told that I was co-hosting with you.
Oh, yeah. They were great at lying to people.
So.
Remember they played me and Stephen A. against each other?
Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Back. That take goes back. You and
Michael's
Pat,
working on this holiday, and Stephen A. said, really? And then they told me Stephen A.'s working, so you have to work. Yeah. Total lie.
But. Listen, I'm not going anywhere. So this is all just kind of.
Well,
fun.
You know what? Well, you know what, Don?
Don't.
We don't need to talk about it anymore because you have a press conference coming up after 6 o'clock. We'll ask the questions.
Okay,
you'll answer.
But if for some reason they needed to break up the morning show, they would break it like a Bo Jackson bat over their leg.
I was told by the person that would have to make that decision. I'm not breaking up my 5 to 8 show.
No.
I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Oh, I love stories.
So when Yes was being done,
yeah,
John J. Filippelli went to George Steinbrenner and said, the guy I want to have do play-by-play is Michael Kay. And George said, I am not breaking up my radio team of Sterling and Kay. Everybody likes them. We're not doing it. And Flip had to keep going back to him. And finally Flip said, do you know how important the real estate is on TV compared to the real estate on radio? No disrespect. But the money that could be made on Yes compared to what you're going to make on radio. And then George said, okay, hire him. And if it doesn't work out, it's your butt. So, yeah, 5 to 8, okay. It's a wonderful time, and it's important for the station. But I think Rick would be allowed to come on the show when Don leaves.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because I don't picture a show in which Rick presents real opposition to you. That's what makes you and Don so special. The fact that you guys disagree so often, yet have the comfort to be able to really fight like cats and dogs. As much as you pretend you and Rick are close, not. And I think he'd get up here and be sort of subservient to you. I don't know that he's the fit. I think Rothenberg would be the better fit from a fighting perspective. Don, am I making sense?
You don't need a yes man.
I just got a text from Rick. True. I'm on the phone right now with the Devils begging that Don gets the job.
See? Wow, what a nice guy doing that just for you, Don.
Well, yeah.
Save DiPietro!
No offense, it didn't work with the Islanders, so I'm not going to.
Wow. A lot of people That's are upset that the I'm, show's breaking up.
I'm not, guys. Well, we'll save it for the press conference.
Thank you. Press are coming up after 6 during Nina. This is why you got to listen. This is why you had to find a Ray Rowe, because coming up at 6. Yeah. Oh, we got a lot.
You know what? I think it's a great idea by you. But I've never seen Don so circumspect in his answers. I don't think it'll play.
Well, you mean, do you think it'll be worse than when we called Andrew last week?
Oh, that was awful.
That, you know,
well, hey there.
I don't like to critique things I'm not involved in.
Right.
But that was tough.
You know what happened?
It wasn't
Peter
Andrew's
fault.
Peter
and I were left alone because you played the COVID card again for the second time, and we had to do stuff.
What happened was, the truth is, Michael thought he had a great idea to call Andrew and
tick him off.
and tick him off, demanding to talk to him when his sister's about to get married.
Who's that?
And say, I have an important question. Hey, what's that question? That question is, how about them Sixers? And I was with him. I thought it was a great idea, and I thought Andrew would get mad. Andrew's so polite.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he's like a, you know,
we're
generic
all grown up
Lego,
now.
Generic Lego man over there. He didn't even get angry. He just was like, Michael said, how about them Sixers? And Andrew goes, well, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Oh, it was awful.
Try to get them next
best
time.
Best laid plans. It was terrible. I'm embarrassed. You know, I'm not the producer of the show. Andrew is. I tried to produce, and I messed up.
But you know
when, when we have to replace you, Don, we're going to come up with a winner. It's hard to replace you, but we will.
Completely unnecessary conversation.
You know what Ryan Hurley just texted?
Oh, no.
Well, you think all you want, it ain't happening. Mm.
So real quick, just so everyone knows.
Boston Celtics announced Al Horford. You want to save that?
No, just say it.
Al Horford and Marcus Smart are out tonight against the Heat. Marcus Smart, right mid foot sprain. Al, health and safety protocols.
Well, I'm going to put all of my account on the Miami Heat tonight. But you know, Don, it's one of those best case scenarios.
Right. Oh, and you'll be happy to lose that money.
Yeah, I throw the money on Miami right now, and if I lose, I'm happy. If I win, I'm happy. How you like that?
Oh, it's good. It's good to be
That's
happy at every turn. Yeah. See, I'd be happy when Don gets the devil job, and I'd be sad that he'd be leaving us. But you know, I'd be happy for him, and then happy to have Rick come in the door. Anyway, ENN's coming up in just a moment. A lot of changes right in front of us, everybody, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.